Welcome back, friends. The sixth door, learning to see God clearly. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Matthew 5:8. Using Anton Morgenroth, the Sermon on the Mount, as a primary scholarly source, we're going to look into this as well. So that would be over here. So, all right. I guess it's that time to wave books around, so we might as well wave
Yeah, it's been a while.
a few. We're an
If
intrepid lot here. All right, so
only we
I
could capitalize
mentioned
on this.
Peter Ellis at one point, Matthew, his mind and his message. All right. This is the one we're about to go into with this door, seeing the pure of heart, the Sermon on the Mount. Studies in Matthew, Dale C. Allison. Oh, there we go.
There we go. Yep.
And then I mentioned Curtis Mitch and Edward Schrie earlier.
Right. Yeah, he's great. Yeah.
They are Catholic commentary on sacred scripture. So, okie dokie, there we are. But this is the one for this particular episode, more or less, more or less. So, Anton Morgenroth in the Sermon on the Mount insists that purity of heart is fundamentally about unity. A pure heart is not divided. It does not seek God while secretly serving other masters. Morgenroth draws heavily on scripture to show that impurity is not limited to external sin, but includes inner fragmentation, self-deception, and disordered loves that cloud spiritual sight. He reminds us that scripture consistently links vision and holiness. To see God is to know him, and to know him requires likeness. As St. John says, we see him as he is because we shall be like him. 1 John 3:2. Purity of heart, then, is not a condition imposed from outside, but a transformation from within, whereby the heart is gradually conformed to the heart of Christ. Morgenroth situates this beatitude within the larger drama of salvation history. He notes that sin always distorts perception. From Eden onward, humanity has struggled not only with disobedience, but with blindness. The pure heart is the healed heart. It sees clearly because it no longer resists the truth. This is why Jesus links purity not with severity, but with mercy and obedience. Only a heart surrendered to God can receive light without fear. The Catechism confirms this deeper meaning. Purity of heart enables us to see according to God, to perceive the human body, our neighbor, and creation itself in the light of charity. Section 25:19. This beatitude, therefore, has moral, sacramental, and contemplative dimensions. It touches how we live, how we love, and how we pray. Morgenroth is especially strong in warning against a false purity that seeks control rather than conversion. A heart obsessed with its own perfection becomes opaque. True purity is humble. It allows God to reveal what must be healed. It is willing to be taught, corrected, and cleansed by grace. This is why Christ constantly pairs purity with childlikeness and trust. And the promise remains astonishing. They shall see God, not only at the end of time, but even now, in glimpses, in the sacraments, in prayer, in the faces of others. As the heart becomes less divided, reality becomes more transparent. God's presence is no longer hidden behind fear, resentment, or illusion. This beatitude invites us to examine not just what we do, but what we allow to shape our inner vision. Lent is a privileged time to ask where our hearts are divided, where attachments blur our sight, and where God is asking for greater simplicity. Something to consider doing. Choose one concrete practice of interior simplicity this week. It may be silence, custody of the eyes, or a deliberate renunciation of something that scatters your attention. Offer it not as a self-improvement, but as an opening for God's light.
I like that way of articulating it as a unity, right? It's a single-mindedness, right? The purity is, I remember a long time ago, when you think about purity, what does that mean? It has to do with the integrity of whatever product, pure wool, pure olive oil, pure of heart, right? Means that the heart is single-minded. It looks with one eye, right? To what it needs to see and has right intention, right? Always a constant rectitude of intention. So, and we see that there can be a division there, right? Mother Teresa once was asked, and I think many saints have been asked, why do you spend all that time in adoration when you could be out serving the poor, right? And there you see that she had purity of heart, right? Her service of the poor was to see Christ. And the only way that she was going to be certain of recognizing Christ in the poor was if she knew Christ from her own lived experience.
Correct.
And we can find that we have that bifurcation, right? Do I give to the poor out of love, or do I give to the poor out of philanthropy, right? Is there charity, or is it because, Satan can always mimic, am I not eating that apple because I, don't fit into my pants appropriately? Or am I not eating that apple because God is calling me to fast for the fact that I don't control my appetite, which is why I don't fit into my pants? You know what I mean? But
I
the
do,
diet
I
can
do.
become the can so the that purity of mind, that purity of heart, right? That seeing something in a unity, or in a with a single lens focus, right? When we close our eyes to look through that microscope or through that telescope, everything is relayed to our brain without that bifurcation of the dualism of our eyes fighting for what is the best thing to look at, right? And we need to also make sure that we are you that our vision is, it's one. It's not binocular, right? We need to look at God with one eye, that with that pure heart, right? The eye of the heart, as they like to say, scripturally. And again, where we see that purity of heart emanating, right? Because it says that the pure of heart will see God. Well, what does that mean? It means that when you look at your neighbor, it's Mother Teresa, right? Mother Teresa, who knew what her intention was, who spent that time getting to know Christ, could not but fail to see him in every person that she encountered. So, if you are pure of heart, if you do have a rectitude of intention, if you are rightly ordered in your mind and in your body and in your soul, you will not, it'll be impossible for you not to see God.
That's right. That's right. That's right. All right. So, yes, right. As this door closes, vision has been clarified. The heart, no longer divided, begins to see as God sees. But this vision is never meant to remain private. To see God rightly is to begin acting as his children in the world. So, in the next episode, we're going to open the seventh door of the kingdom. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Matthew 5:9. Till then, my friends, fides Evrachi.